When are you hoping to arrive in Palestine, more or less? Is there sort of a name?
We've got our first date is in Hebron on July the 7th. We're there for a week and then we go to Bethlehem. Until the end of September, we're set in the route we're taking and how long we are in each place and what organisations are working with. And then October and November, we're spending some time going to Israel and some time in Gaza. And just because of the situation there, it's pointless planning more specifically than that. You know, we've got the contacts, we've got the people. It depends if, for example, Israel attacks Lebanon again in the summer, then getting into Gaza will be pretty impossible, whether we like it or not. We can't tell that till September. But we've got a month to get from Germany to Palestine. I think what we're going to try to do most of the time is invisible theatre. It's stuff on the street that screws with people, that plays with people, that informs people, that draws people in to participate, not to spectate. But we'll also do things like, when we need to generate money, we can do things that would more conventionally be understood as performance, just because, you know, we have to. So on the way south, if we need to stop and make money, or we sort of, you know, we meet some people who've got a lovely social centre in Croatia that we should visit on the way, then we'll do that. But I think very much we'll be kind of going, ooh, we're going to encounter problems getting in. We want to get there as soon as possible and be prepared to sit on the border for a week and be messed about, because it might very well happen.
Something we haven't talked about really is that we're taking a sound system that's part of the sustainable way of travelling, that we'll have a solar powered and also have a pedal generator with us, so we can, you know, in an inclusive way, we can get someone up to be cycling whilst, you know, if we want sounds, and they can be cycling on like an exercise bike thing and making the sounds as we're there. And and that's a way, you know, when we've got a space and when we've got, it's just a way of drawing people in, and so at times we'll be invisible, but at times we'll be this huge, you know, the sound of the sun translated in, the power of the sun kind of translated into sound is huge, and we have, you know, a big system and lots of sound, and it does create a party, it creates an atmosphere, and it's,
It's still invisible, it's still people aren't going to know what to make of it. It can take many guises and many. It is a very powerful thing to be able to, you know. We've also got a wall. We've got an amazing. I was hoping we'd maybe talk about what exactly we're going to do. But yeah, some of the props we've got to play with are kind of, are in some respects circus, in other respects sort of multiple arts coming together, and it'll change as we go and people get involved and go out again. But we've got a mad telescopic wall that we found in a police station skip. As sort of, I don't know, 2 meters wide and 2 meters high and 3 meters wide or something like that, and it pulls out from something very small and just ding. And so visually we can fill the space quite well, and the sound we can create. I mean, when the Vanunu Freedom Ride came, we just cycled down and just filled that New Market Square just with a sound system on a bike trailer. And such a powerful thing to, you know, a world where people are dominated so much, especially with visual overload, you know, to be able to suddenly drop anything we want into that space. You know, it doesn't have to be music, it can be recording of clocks, it can be sirens, it can be spoken word, it can be background noise, it can be subliminal stuff, it can, you know, sounds of waterfalls, whatever, and we can use it in different ways. We can use it more as activists, as a kind of, you know, fake subvertising promotional thing, where we're asking people all sorts of pointless questions and trying to give away shit we found in skips and playing with that whole idea of things being for free. Or we can use it more as a information tool and be doing sort of wall actions, like this is what the wall is like in your life, we're disrupting your life with this. Or we can use it more as a performance tool, where we're sort of doing juggling and circus stuff through and round and playing with what a barrier actually is. Yeah, and to project onto, that's kind of another thing we're doing, is we're working with a lot of projections and pictures we've taken and pictures of stuff we're taking on the way. And how did you start talking about the wall, the sound system?
The sound system.
How's that connected?
What was your question?
Where's the microphone?
The microphone is lying.
Yeah, I was just realising there's lots of central things to our project we still hadn't talked about. We were kind of starting to talk quite broadly and things that were integral, like the circus skills and the sound system are going to be core to what we do. That's going to be something at every stage. Just cycling behind the sound is an amazing way to move, and the energy it creates. Just
also built a very strange unicycle workbench tricycle. There's some great pictures of on Indie Media that pulls the sound system when we're in. You couldn't cycle up hills on it, but in a sort of centre environment, it's perfect. So we're thinking of playing with ideas of procession and labyrinths, especially creating labyrinths in places. I'm also thinking a lot of using site-specific rubbish and waste, and sort of, you know, creating with what we find in each place, and having ideas that are, you know, become individual to each place we're visiting.
I'm kind of thinking like when I'm kind of visualized when we are a certain place for a short time or something, and we're a great place with activist people and stuff, and maybe just bring the energy to say, okay, let's go and do this tonight, and the people will say, yeah, let's do it, and it's like, okay, we don't know each other, but let's go and work together and just do it for this night, and then we are off because that is the tour. But if we can go and do an action one night, it doesn't have to be like, I mean, it doesn't have to be like get arrested or something, but just to bring that energy into people, like, okay, let's work together, let's do this for one night, and yeah, I think that's a nice idea.
We have some good tools for this. We have we have off-grid power. You know, we have bike trailers. Bike trailers are amazing. Yeah. It's just like suddenly the things you can do that you couldn't do, and like when you start using one to do a lot of work with, it's.
It can be as simple as going collectively skipping somewhere and do it in a really nice way, in a funny way. Let's go with a sound system. Let's not hide, and yeah, let's dress up and let's
shop on the streets.
Yeah, just like, because skipping, I think, becomes sometimes like and it's more easy to go shopping and yeah, I don't know, just hiding away and you're not allowed, and it's like, oh, a bit risky and stuff, and just break down those fears and stuff, and yeah.
You know, the characters were developing, and I did come up with the name Trash Panache, and this idea of finding things and picking things up, and we did go skipping the other day, and had pointy shoes and pink jeans, and it's so, because people look at you like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, and then as soon as you're like, you've got all your trailers and you're confident, and you're like, you know, they can't believe what you're doing, they can't believe you're pulling out, you know, beautiful organic vegetables and all the gorgeous delights, and it's like there is this kind of, you can share them with people and you can cook for people, and it's all out of a bin, you know, like, oh, how posh, these oranges are individually wrapped in paper, and it's like, oh yeah, they're dead posh, they're out of a bin. And I think there's everything that we'll find along the way. We won't be able to carry everything with us the whole time. We can only carry a certain amount of stuff, so, you know, objects are going to have, they'll be special and they'll be important but also discardable, and you know, I'm envisioning leaving things at various stages, things that feel important now that we wouldn't dream of setting off without. You know, there might reach points where they become impractical and we think, oh, we don't need to carry this any further, we've got what we can from this, and you need to pick something else up instead, something smaller, something lighter. Yeah, and I think litter picking and you know, we're going to be on stilts at times, I think long legs, and then having these long stilt picking arms, like litter picking arms as well, these hybrid creatures of, you know, confronting people with their consumption and the mass produced things of their lives, and it'll be different in every place. You know, in Palestine there's smoking, there's cigarettes, everyone smokes cigarettes, and it's, you know, you get, you know, I've done with that before in Greece, there's lots of cigarette butts, lots of cigarette packets, and, you know, just to collect things into one place really makes people think about that, you know, or can do.